Larry Hendricks, a teacher of English, aged 27, lived on the top floor of the teacherage. He wanted to write, but his apartment was not the ideal lair for a would-be author. It was smaller than the Kidwells, and moreover, he shared it with a wife, three active children, and a perpetually functioning television set. It's the only way we can keep the kids pacified. Though as yet unpublished, young Hendricks, a he-manish ex-sailor from Oklahoma who smokes a pipe and has a mustache and a crop of untamed black hair, at least looks literary. In fact, remarkably like youthful photographs of the writer he most admires, Ernest Hemingway. To supplement his teacher's salary, he also drove a school bus. "Sometimes I cover 60 miles a day," he said to an acquaintance, "which doesn't leave much time for writing, except Sundays." Now that Sunday, November 15th, I was sitting up here in the apartment going through the papers. Most of my ideas for stories, I get them out of the newspapers, you know? Well, the TV was on and the kids were kind of lively, but even so, I could hear voices. From downstairs. Down at Mrs. Kidwell's. But I didn't figure it was my concern since I was new here. Only came to Holcomb when school began. But then Shirley, she'd been hanging up some clothes. My wife, Shirley, rushed in and said, "Honey, you better go downstairs. They're all hysterical." The two girls. Now, they really were hysterical. Susan never has got over it. Never will, ask me. And poor Mrs. Kidwell. Her health's not too good. She's high-strung to begin with. She kept saying, but it was only later I understood what she meant. She kept saying, "Oh, Bonnie, Bonnie, what happened? You were so happy. You told me it was all over. You said you'd never be sick again." Words to that effect. Even Mr. Ewald, he was about as worked up as a man like that ever gets. He had the sheriff's office on the phone, the Garden City sheriff, and he was telling him that there was something radically wrong over at the Clutter place. The sheriff promised to come straight out, and Mr. Ewald said fine, he'd meet him on the highway. Shirley came downstairs to sit with the women, try and calm them, as if anybody could. And I went with Mr. Ewald, drove with him out to the highway to wait for Sheriff Robinson. On the way, he told me what had happened. When he came to the part about finding the wires cut, right then I thought, and decided I'd better keep my eyes open, make a note of every detail, in case I was ever called on to testify in court. The sheriff arrived. It was 9:35. I looked at my watch. Mr. Ewald waved at him to follow our car, and we drove out to the Clutters. I'd never been there before, only seen it from a distance. Of course, I knew the family. Kenyon was in my sophomore English class, and I'd directed Nancy in the Tom Sawyer play. But they were such exceptional, unassuming kids, you wouldn't have known they were rich or lived in such a big house. And the trees, the lawn, everything so tended and cared for. After we got there and the sheriff had heard Mr. Ewalt's story, he radioed his office and told them to send reinforcements and an ambulance. Said, "There's been some kind of accident." Then we went in the house, the three of us. Went through the kitchen and saw a lady's purse lying on the floor and the phone where the wires had been cut. The sheriff was wearing a hip pistol, and when we started up the stairs, going to Nancy's room, I noticed he kept his hand on it, ready to draw. Well, it was pretty bad. That wonderful girl. But you would never have known her. She'd been shot in the back of the head with a shotgun held maybe 2 inches away. She was lying on her side, facing the wall, and the wall was covered with blood. The bed covers were drawn up to her shoulders. Sheriff Robinson, he pulled them back, and we saw that she was wearing a bathrobe, pajamas, socks, and slippers. Like, whenever it happened, she hadn't gone to bed yet.